Welcome to Recurring Nightmares, episode 56. I am Chris, always joined by Jeff.
Hello.
And as always, we're going to put two movies together and kind of a double feature for the two of us and talk through them both and then decide which one is better. And it's our annual, we've kind of made it annual at this point, annual Christmas.
Yeah.
Themed show, and we're going to get into those shortly. But before that, Jeff, have you seen anything over the last month?
Well, we had a little shorter of a turnaround here, so
yeah,
not much. I saw two like new movies, I guess I'll point to, and I can't really think of much else unless you want to talk more Godfather or John Wick, but.
Good movies, both.
Yeah. I'm having fun watching through them. One of the new movies I saw just came to VOD, and I think it's going to be on some streaming service, like, very short. I think it's going to be, I think by the time you're hearing this, it'll be on AMC Plus, I want to say.
Okay.
It's a Christmas movie, not Christmas horror, just regular Christmas movie, called Christmas Eve in Miller's Point.
Mm-hmm.
This is like an indie kind of art house Christmas movie that really aims to capture how Christmas Eve could feel, you know, with like a big family gathering, everyone coming to someone's house and the stuff that goes on. And that's kind of it. Like, I appreciate what it's trying to do. It does capture the vibe, I think, pretty well. You know, but there's not really anything like there's no story really being told. It's just literally aiming to capture how it feels.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so like there's not. Ultimately, I walked away from it being like, that was kind of boring and I doubt I'd watch it again, which sucks because I blind bought it because I was like, oh, this looks really good in the trailer. What's his name? Michael Cera is in it. He's like, might be the only person you would recognize in it.
Okay.
He's a cop. There's like these two cops that like you check in on from time to time. They're working Christmas Eve. He's like completely wasted. Like him and this other cop, like they don't say anything the whole fucking movie. Like they're just like sitting there watching stuff happen. It's like, okay, what is this? Like, there's a part near the end where his partner like kind of implies that he wants to have sex with him. It's like a really awkward conversation. I'm like, what? I don't know. I really don't know what to say about the movie other than I did not love it. It's kind of just like a hangout like movie, but there's just never any stakes. Like if you've seen like the Christmas episode of The Bear, have you seen that?
I don't. No.
No, you'd know. Like, that has, like, this escalating tension throughout it where you're like, oh, okay. Shit. Like, you know, the mom's in the kitchen. She's cooking. She's getting more and more drunk. And the mom on that show is Jamie Lee Curtis, and she's terrifying. There's just nothing else. Like, they get together, the usual kind of bullshit, and then, like, after dinner, the kids kind of sneak out, and they go hang out with their friends, and they run around town. It just ends. Like, it's just like, I don't know. It got some good notices. It got, you know, I wanted to check it out because of that, but I didn't really care for it.
Okay.
The other movie I saw was Juror Number 2, which is the new film from Clint Eastwood. He's not in it. He's just directing. This is a movie that got released in, like, three theaters by Warner Brothers for whatever reason, just because Warner Brothers is like evil now, apparently.
Well, is it one of those things where they want it for award season, so they need to release it, but they really just want to put it on streaming?
I don't know. I don't get why they would do that to a Clint Eastwood movie though. Like, he's had some successful movies as of lately. Like the Mule made hundreds of millions of dollars, I want to say. I don't know. It's a shame because this movie should have been in theaters. I think the movie is really, really good. I think it's like Going into it, I thought people were probably giving it a little bit of a pass, like they do with Clint Eastwood, because he's like a legend. And it's, you know, if you've seen his last few movies, they're not like, I was nice about Cry Macho. That was his last movie, but I didn't think it was very good. Like, ultimately, it's just like, you've done the same thing, but better before, you know?
Right.
And so, like, it's been a while since he's put out a movie that I've found to be, like, really impressive. And your number two is, like, it's a, you know, a courtroom thriller, like, drama that would have made huge bank. It would have been a huge hit in 1995. And I mean that as, like, a compliment. Like, it's just...
Yeah, I mean, that's when those types, like, the John Grisham stuff was out during that time.
Yeah, and this would have been right up there, like, people would have really liked it. It is the rare, like, I have not seen too many courtroom dramas that kind of focus on the jury deliberations,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, like, the trial itself. Yeah,
normally it's the lawyers or the actual defendants.
So think like 12 Angry Men, where it's like about one juror trying to convince the other jurors of something. Now, I want to say what the premise of this is, which some people would consider a spoiler, but if you've seen the trailer like totally gives it away. Are you cool with me saying it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you know the premise?
No.
Okay. So if you don't want to hear this, just fast forward a couple minutes. But... So Nicholas Hoult is the star. He's juror number two. He gets, selected for this murder trial. This guy, according to the state, this guy got in a fight at a bar with his girlfriend. He chased her out of the bar and he beat her to death out on the road, like outside the bar. Nicholas Hoult quickly realizes he was in the bar that night and saw them fighting. And on his way home from the bar, he thought he hit a deer.
Oh, Jesus.
And that's the premise. And so picture 12 Angry Men, where everyone is like, this guy is guilty. Like, you know, we're going to put him away. And like, he does not want to do that.
Because he might have killed her.
Yes. He like basically knows the guy's innocent. And that is the premise. And that's the hook. And it's so strong that, like, it just captures your attention. Like, you are just, like, even my wife was, like, you know, she'd be, like, checking her phone, like, a million times throughout a movie. She was just, like, locked in as soon as it started to get going.
Nice.
I'm not going to say anymore, but it was pretty big recommend. I loved the ending to it. If you see it, we could discuss that at some point. Like, the last, like, kind of, like, 10 seconds of the movie, I think, are really great. Yeah, this is the best thing Eastwood has done in a long, long time. And I'm not trying to, like, oversell it, because it is just, like, a good, like, standard kind of 90s, like, thriller, but, like, you just don't get that much anymore, and so, like,
right.
Nice because of that, pace. Yeah, it's, like, it's cool. Like, it's just an adult drama.
Is this on Max, or...
So, yeah. Or whatever it is. I rented it for $10, but it'll be on HBO Max on the 20th, December 20th.
Okay. All right.
So definitely, you know, if you have HBO, absolutely check it out this Christmas. It's a good one.
All right.
That's kind of it, man.
All right, that's fine. I too only saw two extra movies other than what we're going to talk about. Both Christmas movies. So Thanksgiving Day tradition with, like, my wife and kids is we take them to a movie. It was a struggle to come to a consensus on anything. In fact, I don't think there ever was a consensus. Like, some of the girls wanted to go see Wicked. My wife adamantly hates musicals.
Oh, no.
She did not want to go. No one was really feeling Moana 2. I think my son was like, I want to see Gladiator, but everyone else was like, no. So we ended up going to see Red One, The Rock, and Chris Evans.
Nobody wants to see it.
Nobody wants to see it, but we were just like, this is what we're doing then, because this is...
Because we can't agree.
Yep.
We're all going to punish ourselves together.
And honestly, like, It the reviews were awful. Like, they're terrible. And there was a whole bunch of shit about The Rock, like, beforehand being like a, you know, a dick on set and being super late. And this is not a $200 million movie, which is what it cost to make. But it is it was perfectly entertaining.
Like, I can't believe they spent that much on it.
Yeah, just absurd, right? Like, like for a fucking Christmas movie, like, and it probably all comes down to salaries for, except, you know, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, Chris Evans, Lucy Liu, J.K. Simmons, like, they probably all demanded like a good chunk of funds for this movie. Cause there's nothing really like, oh man, that's like, looks super awesome. Like, I could see, like, where they spent the money.
It's like polar bears walking around, right?
Yeah. There's a giant polar bear. So concept of the film is, you know, Santa Claus is real. He lives at the North Pole. And he has basically a like Secret Service detail. And everybody, the governments of the world know that Santa and other mythological creatures are real. There's a whole government agency that oversees them. Like, this was set up for sequels because they could do more with the way they set it up. Anyway, Santa gets kidnapped. And there is this item which actually plays into Krampus, one of the movies we watched this month. This little snow globe thing where, Krampus can trap people in the snow globe. So that there's an evil villain kidnaps Santa and like is siphoning his energy to create multiples of this snow globe that traps people that Krampus has. And so The Rock is one of the Secret Service agents, and that is supposed to protect Santa Claus. And Chris Evans is a hacker that, like, ultimately found the location of Santa Claus and sold it on the black market. Didn't know what he was doing, but, like, they get tied up. So it's kind of like, you know, 48-hour situation where criminal and cop get paired up to go save somebody. So they're hunting down Santa, trying to find him. And it's kind of fun. Like, it's held together by Chris Evans. I think The Rock is he was always kind of one note, but it's like,
yeah,
it's stale now.
Yeah, very much. Like, I'm kind of way over
it. Yeah. And like, he's gotten worse as like time has gone on, like, cause he always needs to appear like the biggest, toughest dude on screen.
He's so protective of his image. He never plays anything interesting. Maybe the closest thing was that Baller show, you know,
yeah. Like, but even then he was just really playing himself.
Yeah.
But Chris Evans is super fun in this. Like, he's the heart of this film, and he's fun to be along with. Yeah, it was enjoyable enough. I'm not saying go out and watch it, but like...
Well, you can. It's going to be on Prime Video in a couple
days. Yeah, very shortly. So, like, if you're looking for something to watch during Christmas and you're like, I want some background noise, Red One might operate for you.
Yeah, like, don't want to play, like, the same classic Christmas movies that you've seen 8 million times. Yeah.
Like, it's just goofy enough, but it's like, yeah, and like, there's some fun one-liners, like, it's not great, but it was entertaining enough for what we wanted it for. So
I think it mostly got trashed, but I've also heard people like you that were like, I don't know, it was fine. Like, and I've heard other, maybe it was just you I saw saying it or whatever, but like, I thought I heard other people saying that Chris Evans is fun in it. So I don't know.
And I will say this, like, my wife doesn't really like a lot of movies that we go to, and she was like, that was fun. Like, she's like, yeah, it was enjoyable. I don't understand what the hate for it was. Like,
you know, what's funny is I was adamantly against going to see Wicked, and I have not seen it. Mm-hmm. You know, the good thing about my wife is, like, she'll, like, really want to go see something, but if you don't talk about it, like, after it comes out, she just forgets. And so, like, we, you know, I avoided that one, but I've heard actually that Wicked is actually really good.
Yeah, like, I want to see it, but I also, it was like, the second week it came out was Thanksgiving week, and I was like, I don't want to be in a theater with the crazies that are there watching that film. Maybe I'll catch it when it hits like one of the streaming services. Also, it's a 2-part film.
Yeah, and it's pretty long. Like, yeah. I'll probably check it out when it comes out. Like you said, on streaming.
Yeah. And the other one I saw was one you mentioned on our last show when we were kind of talking about the two movies we are going to talk about. You mentioned There's Something in the Barn.
Yeah.
It's a Norwegian horror comedy, Christmassy themed movie with elves, like killer elves specifically. It's Norwegian thing where these Americans, they moved to Norway. They've inherited this house. Everybody in the local community thinks the house is haunted or the barn itself is haunted. But they won't really kind of lay it out. This guy at a museum, he talks to the son and like tells him about the myth of the barn elf. And that, like, if you're nice to the barn elf and you follow what the barn elf's rules are, the barn elf will help you. Like, he'll do things around the house. He'll help keep the farm up and running. And that's, you know, what ultimately happens here early on is that the kid befriends this elf that lives in the barn. And the elf starts, like, helping out around the house. He's, you know, he's fixing stuff. He's chopping wood. He's doing, like, all these chores. So that he can keep getting cookies from this kid that he's befriended. But one of those rules is no bright lights, no loud noises, and no changes to the house or the barn. Like, you can't make major changes to anything. They don't like that. And all three of these things are, like, happening. Like, the intention of this American family is to turn the barn into a bed and breakfast. They put up, like, Americanized Christmas lights, like, complete with, like, sound-activated Santa, like, blow-up Santa that, like, if you walk in front of it, it starts, ho, 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 like, one of those things. And, like, super bright lights and everything. So the elf, like, gets pissed off, and he starts fucking shit up, starts breaking stuff, breaks all their Christmas ornaments, and it's, like, seems just mischievous at first. And, like, the kid's like, we got to make peace with this elf. Like, the elf is just going to keep being bad. And he makes this porridge after he talks to the museum curator. The porridge is supposed to be, like, the elves love porridge. Like, if you give them it, it's a peace offering, and they'll be friends with you. The dad eats the porridge after serving this god-awful Norwegian dinner called lutefisk. That's, like, I think fish jello.
Yeah.
And so he eats the porridge after that dinner and, like, oh shit, there's no porridge. So the kid's like, you know, this lutefisk is Norwegian. It's a traditional dish. So he gives it to the elf, and the elf goes fucking ape shit and calls in all of his elf friends, and they, like, do a home invasion on these people, like, trying to murder them. And it's pretty funny in parts. Like, it's not super great, but it, like, once it ramps up and the elves, like, start fucking shit up, like, it's a good time.
Are they CG elves or
no? They're just little people. They're just,
like, okay.
Yeah, they just have, like, a bunch of little people. They don't speak English. They speak a barn elf. And I had subtitles on while I was watching it. It just kept saying barn. It was like barn elfish, but it was all one word, and I'm like, why is it saying, like, barnelfish? Like, why is the why are they talking barnelfish? Like, fucking idiot. Like, but yeah, it's fun. Like, there's not a lot of kills. I think, like, two people die. There's two kills. Mm-hmm. They kind of happen off screen too, like, which is weird for an R-rated, like, this is an R-rated horror film. You would think that they would have gone a little gory, but I actually was reached out to, I post my reviews up on Twitter and the social medias and stuff, like, just a little, you know, two line, like, what I thought about it. And one of the producers actually, he tweeted me back, he replied, I was like, hey, like, that's what we were going for. Just kind of trying to be fun. Like,
I love when that happens. That sometimes happens to me with, like, smaller movies. I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah, it's this guy. He's like, thanks for watching our movie. You got what we set out to do, to make exactly. Giving people a good time. Like, and he was like, Merry Christmas. So, like, it was fun. Like, it's, like, I think I watched it on Shudder.
Okay.
And it's perfectly easy enough to watch. And it's another one. It's like light fare. It's not anything like super impressive. I probably won't add it into any sort of rotation for Christmas, but you know, it was a good time.
I like that. There's like gremlin rules. Like
he puts them on the little boy. He puts them on he like writes them out and puts them on the refrigerator and everyone keeps fucking ignoring them. And they like do the gremlin thing where it's like, you know, they show you doing the things and the you know, the creature being annoyed by it or getting more and more angry by it until he finally snaps. Good time. Is that, and it has like a fun, like sweet ending. So
maybe we'll give it a shot. I haven't gotten the Christmas mode yet outside of the ones we watched for this episode. Like normally by now I've watched like fucking 15 Christmas horror movies. I just haven't gotten there yet.
I started with, you know, the movies we're watching, and I was like, oh, I want to watch. So I watched There's Something in the Barn, and then I made like a whole list of like stuff.
There's so many. Like, yeah. There's so many. Like, that's the good thing is we probably won't ever run out. We've, I think, done the cream of the crop at this point.
Yeah, we're gonna be reaching into the depths soon.
But there is no bottom to the depths, so there's that.
No. Well, I mean, we've definitely mined some of those depths this year, just in terms of regular horror. And we only do Christmas once a year, so there's always more shit coming out.
I'll see what I can come up with for next year.
But yeah, let's talk about the films that we watched this year. We're gonna start off with A Christmas Horror Story.
All right.
Merry Christmas. Christmas, the most magical time of year.
Now tell me we will find the perfect Christmas tree.
It's Christmas. Christmas is all about forgiveness and family and tradition.
Santa, lots of kids are depending on tonight going off without a hitch.
But in Bailey Downs this Christmas, it's different.
Exactly 1 year ago, last Christmas Eve, the school was the scene of an unimaginable crime.
And you still want to go down there just for some stupid school assignment?
It gets through any door in the school.
This is Krampus, right?
What's a Krampus?
He's like an anti-Santa Claus. A demon who punishes the naughty. He whips them, chains them up, stuff like that.
That's fine.
It's the elves. I fear they may all become infected. How did it all come to this?
We're trapped down here, and there's a psychopath on our loose.
Bring the changeling back to the forest. That ain't his son.
Did you not see what he did?
The atmosphere here in Bailey Downs is truly grim this holiday season. It's the war on Christmas.
Both of these films are from 2015. Christmas Horror Story is directed by a trio of directors, Grant Harvey, Steve Hoban, and Brett Sullivan, written by a five-pack of people who I'm not going to name. And the reason for all of that, I mean, seeing a bunch of writers on a film isn't anything, you know, particularly new. Like, often you'll see a bunch of writers on a film. The three directors, though, is because ostensibly this movie is an anthology film.
It's, yeah, sort of.
It's just told in the most It's presented in the most bizarre way.
Well, you know what it made me think of? Is there was a type of film in the 2000s that was very, very popular. Like the serious drama that was doing interconnected stories. Like,
so like True Romance and...
No, like Magnolia.
Okay.
Babel was one. Remember that movie Babel? That movie, yep. Crash. The movie Crash won, like, Best Picture, I want to say.
And you're right. Like, all of these are interconnected in a
this
way.
This is
like
the Magnolia of Christmas horror movies. Because, yeah, it's like, it's what, four different stories taking place in a small town. But they all kind of have ties to each other.
Yeah.
Which I think, like, makes it work as a cohesive whole of a movie, sort of. As much as any of those very popular dramas were in the 2000s.
Sure.
And like, just to give it away right at the top, it's like, to me, that's what I like about the movie. I think it's like, you could have just done the normal thing where it's like, here's story one, here's story two. And then like, there's a wraparound story, right? That like helps you transition between the stories. But here it's like, no, we're doing fucking Magnolia. It's like, all right, cool.
Magnolia, except like the four stories are like, you know, kids exploring their school, looking into a girl's murder, a family takes a road trip to a rich old aunt's house, and they learn about Krampus. Santa and his elves have like a very bad day, like where it turns into a fucking zombie outbreak.
It's very funny.
And there's like family trespasses to cut down a Christmas tree, and their kid goes missing. They find him in like a creepy tree, and like we'll get into the specifics of all of them.
On like Steve Bannon's farm, at least that's what I thought the guy looked like.
Yeah, he did.
Did you think that too? Like,
yes.
I'm like, is that Steve Bannon? Like, you see him in different angles, and you're like, oh, that's not him. But, like, that, my first impression was, what the fuck is Steve Bannon doing here?
I had a note here that kind of, like, it goes about how I thought, plus some of the editing went. But we'll jump right into it. So, the first story, kids, these trio of kids, they break into their school. Looking into like a murder from a year ago. Like, I guess they have like a podcast or a YouTube channel where they're gonna delve into this murder, and they're making content in the basement of this school as they explore it. Anything that jumped out to you from this one? Or?
Well, just that I feel like that murder that happened a year ago is kind of what glues the movie together. Like, everything is like, this town is kind of fucked up from that. And so, like, every story has some sort of connection to that, I think, mostly.
Yes. Yeah, because the family that goes and cuts down the tree, like, the dad in that one is
the cop. He was the cop, yeah. That found found the bodies or whatever.
The family taking the road trip. They like the daughter steals the key so the girls can get, so the other three can get into the school because they're the principal or something.
See, it's a movie.
It's just the way it's kind of presented. I'm not really sure what the tie with the fourth one was. I don't. Was he the dad of the kid that died or?
Who got murdered? The Santa?
Yeah.
I think it's just some dude that
goes off. I mean,
yeah, like, and it's interesting too, because if you're paying attention early on, you see him in the radio station and you're like, okay, that's the Santa guy. Like, I did this time. I saw it. I did not realize when you signed this, Chris, I saw this once before, and I think this was last Christmas they showed it on Joe Bob.
Oh, neat.
But
totally blacked out on all the details.
Yeah, sometimes when I'm watching Joe Bob, it's more of just enjoying the vibe, like, you know, like you're eating food, having some beers, or you know what I mean, like. And to watch this even more disjointed with the breaks, you know,
you get
lost in it. Like, I don't know, something's happening here.
I too saw it previously. And I realized after watching it. So it is a movie that does kind of fade in your mind, though, after
you watch it. But for that story, it's all right. Like, I kind of like where it goes. I like when she starts, when the girl gets, like, possessed by the ghost in there. She's, like, trying to fuck all the dudes that she's with. That was fun.
Yeah, because, like, the whole premise is that, like, this used to be, like, a convent or a home for, like, wayward kids or something that nuns ran. And, you know, this girl that was pregnant was sent there, and the nuns, like, performed an abortion on her and ultimately ended up murdering her.
So now her ghost wants to have its baby.
Yes.
Is the idea.
Yep. So she possesses the girl, and who's now trying to seduce the two dudes she's with. Pretty cool concept. Like,
I like the idea of that. And I like when she starts trying to, like, seduce the dudes, and the one dude is just like, what the fuck? And then the other dude is like, hell yeah, okay. He, like, sits in a chair while she rides him. And at the end of it, she's like, she, like, snaps out of it, I think. She's like, what the hell did you do to me? He's like, what did I do to you? Like, I basically just got raped. You know, he doesn't say that, but that's kind of like, you know, it's like, you basically took over, honey. Like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Yeah, so I thought that was fun about it. That's kind of it. I forgot where that ends up, though. Like,
So the first kid that she tries to seduce, he says no and, like, pushes back. So, like, the ghost, through her, murders him. And then the second one, she's able to successfully seduce him, but he starts getting, like, you know, like, what the fuck? Like, he finds the dead body, and he's like, what's going on? And the ghost interprets that as a threat to her, to the girl who's now holding, you know, she's conceived the baby. So the ghost kills that kid and then lets her leave. Like, she's just free to go.
Okay.
That's how it ends. Like, the ghost is like, all right, yeah, mom, I'm going to leave you now. And, your two friends are dead.
And she's going to have the baby, I guess. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, pretty, like, simple. It is told over the course of, like, this, you know, 100-minute film. Like, it is probably a 20-minute, you know, short, but it's told over, like, 100 minutes here.
But, like, honestly, that's another thing that I like about the movie is, like, when you're watching an anthology film.
Yeah.
If you're in a story you don't like and it goes on long, like, it can start to feel really long. And here, because they, like, it'll, like, cut to something else, I could never get too upset with one of the stories. I was just like, okay, like, you know, you get a scene here and then you're going into the way they're interwoven like that makes it so that none of the stories overstay their welcome, I feel like.
Yeah, because you're only getting, like, at best 5-10 minutes at a time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Before it jumps to something else. And then, so the second story, well, I guess the second story is actually the cop. He takes his family out. They're going to go Christmas vacation style and chop down a tree. They trespass on Steve Bannon's yard. they chop down a tree, and on their way back, they're not really paying attention, and their son hears something. He wanders off. And from there, like, weird shit starts to happen. They do find him.
Found him in a tree, like in a hollowed out tree.
In this, like, hollow tree. But he's not talking. He's not acting normal. Like, he has really bad asthma. Like, the kid has really bad asthma, but he doesn't need his inhaler now. He hasn't needed it the entire time since they got him from the tree. He is, like, overeating at the table. He's not communicative, and, like, when you try to stop him, he gets violent with you. Like, still, like, stuff that you could just be like, kid's having a really, really bad day. But he's not, you know, he, like, stabs his dad with a fork. I'm like, that's pretty bad, but you kind of see there's some tension between the mom and the dad about how they handle it, so
yeah, you can
see maybe where the kid would try to push some buttons.
Yeah.
They get a call from Steve Bannon, right?
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Said, hey, like, that ain't your kid. You need to bring him back here.
He's a changeling.
Yeah. Like, which just seems insane. Like, get a random call from some weirdo saying that, hey, I know your kid went missing. Also, not your kid anymore. So bring it back here.
Fucking murder it.
Yeah. She ignores it, though, right? Like, she's like, that's fake. Like, and then more and more weird shit starts happening around the house, ultimately ending with the dad kind of being murdered by the changeling before she takes it back to the woods.
And at which point, I think Bannon just, like, kills the kid, right? Like,
so he is going to punish him. He's going to punish the kid because he's enslaved. Like, all these changelings live on his land.
It's cool. You see them out there. Like, you see they have glowing eyes.
Yeah.
You see them all. I gotta say, I think I could see why people would say this is the weakest one. It's kind of my favorite.
It's kind of fun. Like, it is the darkest one, I think. Like,
I just love creepy kid shit. And so, like, you know, this is a creepy kid story.
But ultimately, like, Bannon is the bad guy in all this. Like, he's been enslaving these changelings on his land for years. After he discovered them, and after she kills Bannon, and then pleads with the changeling to bring her son back, and you know, he eventually comes out of the tree, no clothes on, but, you know, but as him, like, he is, it's him. He needs his inhaler. He's speaking again. It's cool. It's a little bit dark too, like, darker, I think.
Yeah.
Not that the first one wasn't dark, like, that's, you know, also, but, like, the way this kind of plays out with the kid, like, being the murderer is pretty neat. Let's see, what else we got? Then the third one is that family on the road trip. This one's a bit kind of goofy. Like, they go out to a rich aunt's house, and the dad is, like, a swindler trying to, like, scam the aunt for money. And the kids don't want to be there.
Investment type thing, right? Yeah.
Yeah, which I guess, like, he reveals that he's been doing this for a while. The company is a fucking sham, and he just keeps getting more people to invest so that he can continue living his lifestyle. And his wife and kids' lifestyle as well. But while they're at the aunt's house, the butler, like, comes in and explains, oh, like, you know, this creepy statue you're holding is a statue of Krampus. He's the evil spirit of Christmas, and kind of goes on to detail Krampusnacht, which is, like, I guess, the night of Krampus. And the kid breaks the Krampus statue on purpose, and shit goes weird from there, where, you know, they get kicked out of the house.
Yeah, that tells them they have to leave, right?
Yeah, like, right away. And then on their way home, they're kind of fighting, and this fucking animal runs across from them, and they crash their car, and then they're being hunted by, they don't know what yet at this point, because they haven't seen it, but it's this big fucking goat man
that Krampus
chasing. Yeah, it's Krampus that's chasing them down. I thought this one had a cool ending where you find out the aunt knew that the butler was going to be possessed by Krampus because he was mean and he nasty, and he had no spirit of Christmas in him. And ultimately the daughter ends up, the rest of the family's been killed off by Krampus. And the daughter ends up back at the aunt's house, and finds out that kind of the aunt knew what was going to happen, and she, like, kicked them all out.
She figures it out, and she, like, confronts the aunt about it.
Yeah, she becomes Krampus. Like,
because if you have, like, mean spirit, like, Krampus can invade you.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, I dug the ending of it.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, the, you know, the kills that the aren't really good.
I don't think any, like, yeah, I think if there's something weak to this movie, I think to both of these movies, is that, like, yeah, you're not getting, like, I guess there is some good gore in this, like, stuff happens, especially with the Santa story, but it's just, like, neither of them have the hardest edge. Neither of these movies have, like, a super hard edge. They're just kind of, we're doing a fun Christmas horror thing.
Yeah. Which is fine.
Yeah.
And Krampus, which we'll talk about shortly, that's PG-13, which I didn't realize at the time. Like,
oh, so, I did at the time. I hated that movie when I first saw it.
we'll get to that shortly, though. So,
yeah,
that was the third story. And then the fourth and kind of final story is we're presented with Santa at, like, the North Pole, talking with his elves.
It seems so disconnected from everything else, because the whole, like, story, like, the whole movie is about this town, like, this small town.
So, at that, ultimately, did you like this fourth story?
Yes.
Okay. No, because the way it ends up is...
It's, like, great. I don't know. You tell me. I liked it.
Well, I liked it, too. But you generally don't like things that are, like, fake.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, everything that happens in this, it's all presented, like, as Santa at the fucking North Pole. And he's talking with his elves and, you know, Mrs. Claus. And, like, then the elves go fucking crazy. And, like, Shiny is, like, maybe the most foul-mouthed elf I've ever I wrote down a bunch of his quotes. Like, early on, Miss Claus is, like, offering cookies to everyone, like, to gear them up so they can continue on and get ready for Christmas Eve. And Shiny is, like, he's in a mood or whatever, and he goes, I don't want a cookie. And they're, come on, Shiny, have a cookie. He just looks up, most vileness, like, I said I don't want a cookie, you reindeer fucking snow whore. And then chops his fucking hand off. And then from there, like, it's just kind of a fun romp, like, where Santa is trying to, you know, stave off these elves that have been infected. There's a funny Shining reference, I thought, where I think Santa and Mrs. Claus are behind a door and the elves kick it down, and Shiny, like, puts his head in, and he's like, here's Shiny. Looking all crazy. And when he does that, he busts it. He's like, where's my fucking cookie? It's like a good callback to the original one. Then his, I guess he's fighting Santa. He's like, I'm going to eat your brains out, you Christmas cunt. And Santa, for whatever reason, has this big staff that he's been chopping elves' heads off with, which is kind of funny. Like, he just decapitating fucking elves. And Shiny goes, I'll break that fucking staff in your rosy cheeked ass, you fucker. and then Santa finally, like, busts him down, and he's like, you don't have the Christmas balls. Like, making it into, like, a fucking ornament reference that he won't do it. So I thought Shiny was quite the fun character. And ultimately all the elves die. Santa ends up in a shed or something and starts fighting Krampus from the third story with the family.
It's actually not, right? It's just
It's just the real reveal here is that the guy that we see at the beginning, who's in William Shatner's radio studio, who is the weatherman, I don't know, he's having a bad fucking day, he hates Christmas, and he goes on a rampage at the local mall, I guess, where he is supposed to dress up as well. Yeah, he breaks down, thinks he's actually Santa Claus fighting off elves and shit.
It's just like, all this North Pole fucking Santa killing his elf shit is literally just some guy who's insane and killing people at a mall. And, like, I think I could kind of explain why I like this when I hate, like, stuff like this usually is, like, I hate when it was all just a dream. It was all bullshit. And it's like, here, it's not that it's all bullshit. It's just you're just seeing it through this guy's eyes, and then you find out, like, it wasn't bullshit. He was fucking cutting people's heads off and shit. It was just normal people doing their Christmas shopping and people working like the Santa station at the fucking mall, like the people dressed up as elves and shit. And that was just like, it kind of tickled me. I was like, that's fun. Like that, it didn't bother me at all. I could totally see why you think I would hate that, but I thought it was really fun.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm watching it and I'm like, oh, Jeff's going to fucking hate this one. Like, it's so much fun. But he's gonna get to the end and be like, "That fucking spoiled it all." I'm glad that like you're like, "No, this worked because it was so dumb."
That made it make sense with the rest of the movie because you're just like, this stuff feels throughout the whole movie. You're like, it has nothing to do. Like all the other ones are like kind of separate stories, but they're all in this town, and you're like, so what the fuck does Santa have to do with anything? Oh, it's just some DJ's assistant just fucking murdering, like doing mass murder, and they allude to it through the whole movie because William Shatner is getting drunk on the radio.
Yeah,
which I love William Shatner in this.
Oh, he's great! Like they clearly got him for like one day, and he filmed like the five scenes he's in, but
they let him riff.
Yeah,
and he's just getting more and more drunk, but he keeps going, "Hey, everybody, just so you know, don't go to the mall." Like, there's, they got it blocked off. Don't go to the mall. Like, things, so you know something bad is happening at this mall, and you're just like, what the fuck? Why are we not seeing this? And it's like, yeah, you have been seeing it. It's just, you're seeing it from someone have a psychotic break who thinks they're Santa.
Ton of fun.
Yes, right. I like it. It kind of, like, ties everything together in a nice little bow, actually. Like,
yeah, because that's the one it ends on.
Yeah.
Ultimately, look, this isn't the greatest
Christmas it's not.
Horror film ever, but it is a good time. Like, I did think, like, and I don't disagree with you on the kind of the presentation, like, that it makes it all flow, and that, like, yeah, maybe that first and second story, being as they're a little bit slower, if they were told all the way out, we would have maybe lost.
If you had to sit there for 30 minutes and watch these kids walk around fucking, the school, you would start to be like, all right, can we get the next story? And I never felt that.
But like for me, like some of the editing was just like, just the way they cut, like, so there's like one point where you're like seeing Santa decapitate fucking zombie elves. And then they just cut like immediately to those kids in the basement. And it's like, all right, that's weird. That's like a weird cut. Like,
I was invested in zombie elves getting their heads cut off.
And now we're back with these kids like making a YouTube video. Like, I don't know. It just seemed a little off. Like, maybe there was a way to present it in a different way. But I do think I've come around on your explanation.
It's doing Magnolia.
Yeah, well, and also if I had watched that, those three kids in the basement for 20 minutes, I probably would have been like,
you'd be bored. Come on. Yeah.
Like, let's move on. What's the next one? I hope that one's better. Oh no, it's this cop and his family. That one's also slow. Like, it's good, but it's slow. Until you finally get to the third and fourth ones, which are a little more lively. Not necessarily better, but lively. Ultimately, I had a good time with it. Where did you end up with A Christmas Horror Story?
I think all the stories are decent, which is like the best you could ask for an anthology. It's like almost no anthology has one that's like one story that's like a home run. Sometimes. Yeah. There's that movie Holidays where I thought the Father's Day short was like a home run. Like, it really like creeped me out. And
so much of the rest of that is so bad though.
Yeah. But it's like usually most anthologies and from a director we're going to talk about tonight, like Trick or Treat. It's like, some are okay. Some are better than the others.
Yeah. Yeah.
But for me, honestly, the structure is what makes this movie actually really special. They figured out a way to make it feel like one of those fucking art house movies from the 2000s, even though this movie has no pretensions and it is like, it is a junky straight to video, like, you know, Christmas horror movie. But like, I think the structure is what makes it special. Like it makes it stand out from the pack, and it makes that all these stories that are like kind of decent, like work even better because it does. I do feel a cohesive whole to it. Mm-hmm. And just like the, and I think that the Santa bullshit like wraps it in a bow. Like it's just like there's this stupid insanity on top of this. Again, like not trying to oversell it. It is straight to video, basically fucking horror anthology from 10 years ago. But you know what? It's like a little bit of a gem. It's one like if you haven't seen. You should, like, if you're into like Christmas horror, you should definitely check it out. It's fun.
Yeah.
You know, I'd say like, fuck. Again, it could be a little stronger here and there, so I'm gonna give it like a 6.5.
Okay. I too generally liked it. Like you, I thought William Shatner is a lot of fun in this.
I wonder if he's really drunk.
It's very possible.
They have him in the credits. Do you see the end credits? Like he's like doing bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, so I stuck through, like I kind of like, you know, credits start rolling. And I just kind of let it play for a little bit, and then he kind of comes back on and he's like announcing, he's like talking and doing like not outtakes almost, but
it's just fun. Him riffing. Like yeah. It's just like they're just seeing what they're gonna keep out of what he's doing. That's what I took out of it. Yeah.
So like he was just like kind of like ad-libbing all of it and improvising, and we're getting like a bunch of different takes from it. It's a good time, and he seems like he seems like he'd be a fun DJ too. and he is like he is the star of this. Like he is, there's no other like name person that you're like, oh yeah, I definitely know that person.
I try to think if I recognize anyone else. I don't know that I did.
I mean, we've probably seen them in other films and stuff, but like nobody here is like, you know, he's the name.
Yeah, he's the guy you could put on the box, right? Will Shatner. Yeah.
And he's in it for like 7 minutes. But like when he's on, he's definitely on. It's a good time.
Because it's just, it's so clear he's getting drunk as it goes on.
Yeah. And so, like, I had a good time, especially with the two Krampus and Santa Claus stories. You know, the other ones were fine. It was an enjoyable watch. I wasn't bored by any of it. And it's like, hey, this is kind of fun. I think I remember it being fun when I saw it the first time, but I don't remember anything about it.
Same.
And I really enjoyed that fucking foul-mouthed elf. Like, it was a good fucking time. So, yeah, I'm right there with you. 6 out of 10 from me. Which brings us to another film that year, Krampus.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle bells.
Merry Christmas!
Looks like Martha Stewart threw up in here.
This is delicious, honey.
A little dry.
Well, mine's delicious.
Mine's dry.
Do you want to trade?
It's the high. It's Christmas. It's Christmas. It's Christmas. Look at what?
With those holiday greetings and gifts.
How are we going to survive Christmas with 12 people stuck in a house with no heat and no electricity?
Or food.
There's plenty of leftovers, Howard.
Beer it is.
It's the weirdest thing. There's no cars, no people.
How long can this keep up?
We heard something on the roof.
The hell is this?
Saint Nicholas is not coming this year. Instead, a much darker ancient spirit.
Those are hooves. Elk? Or a goat?
What kind of
goat walks on its hind legs.
His name is Krampus. He and his helpers did not come to give, but to take.
Everybody, hold on to each other.
He is the shadow of Saint Nicholas.
It's Christmas. Nothing bad's gonna happen on Christmas.
Directed by Michael Dougherty, I'm not really sure how you pronounce that. He, director of Trick or Treat, which you just mentioned.
He did that god-awful Godzilla. I don't know if you liked that one. I thought it was terrible.
I don't remember which one that was.
King of Monsters. I want to say it was the one with Eleven in it from Stranger Things.
Okay.
It was just like... Oh God! All those Godzilla movies are terrible.
It was, I mean, it's the hell is it called, the monster verse? Yeah, so it's like it's the one that has King Kong in it. Like Godzilla ends up fighting King Kong.
Yeah, and it's like you would hope it's fucking awesome because of that, but it's just people in a room talking for fucking. I hate Godzilla movies, man. I'm sorry.
I mean, I think the other ones get a little better when King Kong is fighting Godzilla. But
I have not seen the newest one because of my hatred for it. Okay. I did see Godzilla Minus One, the Japanese, which was
how was that?
It was good. Have you not seen that one?
No.
It was good, but man, the way people hyped it up, they're like, "This is the first like great fucking blah 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 blah," and it was like.
A fucking Godzilla movie.
They try to like, and I appreciate about it, like, it is in there. It's like talking about World War II, and there is like a real drama, human drama to it. But then like, then at the end, it's fucking goofy. It's like I found goofy a little bit at the end, and I was just like, I don't know. I guess better than a lot of Godzilla movies I've seen, but like, I was like. There was a point this year where I was waiting for that movie to come out so we could do Godzilla Minus One versus the original.
Uh-huh.
And then I saw Minus One. I was like, I don't want to watch this again. And I don't want to watch the original again. And I scrapped it. But anyways, yeah, Michael Dougherty. Yeah, he did Trick or Treat. Like, it's weird. He did like two big holiday horror movies. Like Trick or Treat was not big when it came out, but it is now. Like you go to
super big cult classic now. Yeah.
Go to Spirit Halloween. There's fucking Trick or Treat shit everywhere, and which is so weird because it barely got released. And then he did this, which I think was a hit.
Did pretty well. It was $15 million budget, made $61 million. So good, not like phenomenal, but that's a good return. Four times what you invested in it, like
15 versus 60.
15.
Oh, 15, yeah. Hell
15
yeah.
million budget, 60 million return.
Yeah.
So, and it, like, I'm not going to say that the people they have in this are the biggest stars, but like Adam Scott, Toni Collette, David Koechner, like, they're probably the three that everyone really knows. But really, if you look, like, Alison Tolman, she's on Fargo. You've probably seen Conchita Farrell and stuff too. So like the actors and actresses they have in this, like you've seen them places. Like these are named people.
And I'm sorry, I think Toni Collette is a huge get. Maybe she wasn't at this time, but she is such a great actor.
Oh
and
yeah,
you know what's so fun for me was the night before I watched Krampus, I watched Juror Number 2, and she's the prosecutor in that. And you know, she's big role. Like, it's basically nice, her.
And nice Nicole little tie together.
Yeah, yeah. And it was just weird, too, seeing, like, I feel bad commenting on it, but just seeing, like, you know, she's aged since Krampus. And I'm just like, damn, time comes for us all. But it was just a delight. I was like, because I think she is just an incredible actress. And I was like, oh, she's in this. Fuck, I totally forgot. And probably when I first saw the movie, I was not like tuned in to who Toni Collette was.
Right.
Adam Scott is another one who he has been around forever. And I feel like he's never gotten his due. And now he finally has with that Severance show on Apple, mm-hmm. which is like a big hit for them. Mm-hmm. And he's the star of that. So, yeah, actually pretty solid fucking cast, actually.
Yeah. Basic premise of Krampus is, this dysfunctional family kind of loses their Christmas spirit, and that calls on Krampus to come and, inflict punishment on them. So I think it starts out with Adam Scott's son and Adam Scott and Toni Collette's son. He wants a traditional Christmas. He wants like things to be like they used to be, where everyone believes in Santa Claus. Everyone was like happy for hot cocoa and shit. And I think we've all gotten or at least experienced a piece of this. Like,
I mean, yeah.
You just don't want to do fucking family shit, like, because your cousins have become dickheads or your brother-in-law is a fucking retard or something.
Who doesn't miss, I mean, at least for me, who doesn't miss, like, Christmas when you were a kid, when you believed in it all and all that? Yeah. Like, that's a very, I think, relatable.
Yeah.
Like, I used to look forward to Christmas. Now it's like a thing you have to survive.
Well, you that means kind of what this, right? Because it's like he wants to look forward to Christmas, and everybody is just kind of like, whatever, man. We're just together for 2 days. Like, let's just get through it. And none of them really have any Christmas spirit, and it ultimately calls on Krampus after the little boy kind of has a blowout at dinner.
Yeah.
He goes fucking ape shit, attacks one of his cousins, and
there's a few things I want to call out here. First off, this other family is like cousin Huckin.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, they got it's like the redneck vibe. They're wearing like the camo hats and shit, right?
Yep.
And my hardest laugh in the whole movie is they cut to the one kid who, first off, one kid when he comes in to their house. Our main like little boy is like trying to talk to him, and he just stares at him blankly and walks away. But then when they're eating dinner, they cut to the fucking fat kid, and he's drinking from like a 2 liter of fucking Mountain Dew. It's like they call it something else. Like, it has a different label on it. But he's basically drinking a 2 liter Mountain Dew. That got me to laugh. And then after he has his blowout, he like goes upstairs with his dad, Adam Scott, and Adam Scott is trying to explain like the importance of family and why we have to get along with family. And this is probably my favorite scene of the whole movie, where he's just like, family is about trying to get along with people you have like nothing in common with, but like that's what you do. And the kid's just like, why? And he's like, why would you do that? He's like, I don't know.
That's super true, though. It's like, I'm not really sure, man.
It's like, honestly, like, I said this in my like Letterboxd type thing. It's like, I think this movie's strongest at the beginning, at least for me. Like, I really love the kind of the Christmas Vacation ripoff section of this, where it's just like the horrible family coming to your house for Christmas. It just works for me. I think David Koechner, I think that's how you say his name, is like,
sure,
really good as the other dad. And actually, they humanize him more as it goes along, but he goes rolling in like Cousin Eddie. Like,
he starts out exactly like Cousin Eddie, like, oh my god, he's gonna be unbearable. But by the end, like, you actually kind of care for him, like, and he, you see that he cares.
He's not terrible.
he doesn't just care for his kids. Like, he cares for his brother-in-law and for his niece and nephew as well. Like,
yeah,
it's just, he has a different way of showing it.
It's just, for all of his buffoonery, like, underneath that, he's like an okay guy, you know? Like, I kind of dig, like, I mean, we'll get into my overall thoughts, but that is like an element of the movie I kind of dug.
Some shit that I like noticed was, at one point there's like a bag of toys is left outside. Ultimately, like, you find out that it's,
yeah,
the Krampus has left the bag, but they open the door and like, who gets like shit like this delivered? And like the mom there's just goes, probably Democrats.
I was like, okay, what?
Like, oh, like, they're just going with that. Okay.
But it just felt reversed to me. Like, I felt like it should be like Republican. I don't know. I was just like, whatever. It's just like dumb judging the other people. But also, what was funny about the scene where she's like, stuff to carry. Like, she just calls, like, you got to come pick the shit up. And then, and there's another delivery driver right there at, like, also delivering shit. He's like, that one's not mine. I don't know. Like,
yeah. And this, like, at the start of like a blizzard or something, like, where it's getting
the Krampus blizzard.
Yeah. When all this is starting to happen, and the phones go out of service. So the daughter wants to like go hang out at her boyfriend's house, or like at least go make sure he's all right, 'cause she can't text him. And so the dad, who is, Adam Scott, he is very like kind of, he doesn't really give a shit. Just like, I don't want to fight. Just go ahead. You go. Even though it's fucking, like, looks like it's Antarctica out there. You want to walk to your boyfriend's house? Go ahead.
You know, it's crazy. When I was watching this, I was like, I've worked in that. Like, it's not fun. But
no.
I didn't. It does look like the end of the world.
Yeah. Well, and as you find out, like, it kind of is, because, yeah, like, all the houses have been abandoned, and as this girl is walking out to her boyfriend's house. And that's, I guess, where we first kind of get a glimpse of Krampus, is she's, like, at her boyfriend's house. She sees, like, nobody's around. Everything's frozen over. And this big hoof monster, like, jumps down. She like screams, runs away, and tries to hide. And you don't really get a good look at what the Krampus looks like. You just get kind of like his hooves.
Yeah.
But the girl ultimately, like, you know, gets kidnapped off screen, and then it kind of becomes like, oh, well, she didn't come back. We got to go look for her. And the dads go out to hunt for her, and shit just starts going worse and worse from there. Like, they get attacked by, I'm not entirely sure what they were attacked by. I don't know if it was Krampus or one of his minions, but
it's mostly minions.
Yeah.
Like, that was one thing I think I noted while watching this. I was like, it's mostly not Krampus doing it. It's like gingerbread men and shit, which I'm sure in a second, but
yes. Like, which you don't really, because we don't get a glimpse of it. We just know something's attacking them. They end up back at the house. We're under fucking siege. Like, we got to lock the doors. We can't go back out there. And they decide they're going to keep watch. Everybody falls asleep except like the little fat kid. He wakes up, and this gingerbread man is coaxing him towards the fireplace.
Which is fun. This, you know, it's fun.
Yeah. And, ultimately, the little kid gets, like, because he's like, oh, I'm hungry, I want to eat the cookie.
It's like a gingerbread man on a fish hook, like, you know. Like,
yeah. It's kind of funny. Like, it's a good,
up the chimney.
It's a good gag, yeah. And he gets sucked up the chimney. Toni Collette tries to save him. She gets sucked up the chimney, which they're able to pull her down, but not save the little boy. And from there, then it kind of just takes off. Like, they get attacked by actual gingerbread men. They get attacked by the toys that are in that bag they brought inside.
It's like a siege movie after this, where, like, kind of like Night of the Living Dead, they're boarding up the windows. Someone's going to stay awake while other people sleep, right? Like,
but now they're fighting off like Christmassy toys, and and cookies and shit. Like, it just kind of becomes like this mass chaos once things get moving. I thought the killer Christmas toys like are all quite nightmarish looking. Like the gingerbread men are fun, but the
jester, toys themselves are the Jack in the Box jester type things, like with the crazy like mouths full of teeth, look like something like out of It or Killer Clowns. Like, you know, it's
yeah.
I think I saw you say you didn't like Krampus' design. I think the design on the creatures and all this are good. And I actually kind of like, I don't think I like Krampus as a character, like at all. Like in this.
Like in general. Like the concept of Krampus.
I do think when you get like, he looks like a hag or something like this. Like he's like this hunched over like thing with, like, he's like ordained with a bunch of shit. But like when you get glimpses of his face and his tongue coming out, I thought pretty good. Like I did. That's not my problem with this movie, and I actually don't have like major problems with this movie. But
because it's mostly just fine. Like it's fine enough for what it's doing. Like it's pretty formulaic. I think ultimately is like it follows.
It's safe.
Like there was a, you know, the family ends up getting split up in the house as they're being attacked by the different things. So the hillbilly dad is like downstairs fending off fucking gingerbread men attacking him with a nail gun, while the rest of the family is like upstairs fighting like toys and shit, like the Jack in the Box, the fucking like little robot dude. They're like fending that stuff off up in the attic. I did think it was funny when they finally like rejoin, and the hillbilly dad is like kind of, he's like on the ground, and it's like, what the hell was going on up there? And like, you wouldn't even believe me. You don't want to know. But he goes, I just got my ass kicked by a bunch of Christmas cookies. I can take it.
David Koechner or whatever.
Yeah. So a funny line, I thought, from there. So like they keep picking off the family members one by one. And I think we get a glimpse of a story at some points through all this. The grandmother, she's from over in Eastern Europe somewhere, and she relays the story of Krampus, and she actually says that she had like a run-in with Krampus when she was a kid, and Krampus always leaves one behind to tell the tale going forward. We kind of understand what's happening here is that Krampus is he's kidnapping them all and ultimately going to leave this little boy. But he doesn't want to take that. So he goes and tries to confront Krampus. And actually, I think I didn't remember this. This fucking has a pretty dark ending where the kid is like, no, I just want my family back. And Krampus like picks him up. You think he's like going to be all right. Like you got it, right? You understand now Ebenezer Scrooge. Like you saw the three ghosts. You understand Christmas now. And instead he just drops them into a fucking pit.
Drops them to hell. Yeah.
And then the kid wakes up. So you're like, oh shit. Yeah. Like it is a Christmas Carol. He is going to do it. And then everybody's having a good thing. And again, I was like, oh no, Jeff's going to hate this.
I think I did hate this the first time. I really did. I think this is one of the things where I was like, oh, okay. So it's all just bullshit.
But it wasn't.
It wasn't.
It all happened. Like
everyone is like remembering it as they're sitting there. They're like, "Oh yeah, that all happened."
Yeah, like, the ending is kind of bullshit because Krampus has trapped them all in that like snow globe, and now they will relive Christmas Day over and over again.
Which is
until they remember, and then it's like fucking torture.
Yeah, but like, I think I was so put off by it, like by him waking up and everything was fine, being like, oh yeah, okay, this is just safe. And it is like the ending is trying to have it both ways. Like, oh, they learned their lesson. And it feels like a Christmas movie. Like This movie feels like a Christmas movie, non-horror Christmas movie. Like, the family has to learn a lesson. Everything's going to be all right in the end. But they were smart enough, being a horror movie, to go, like, maybe it isn't. Like, you know, but still, like, it, again, it's having it both ways, in my opinion. Like,
I don't know. They're locked in the fucking snow globe.
Yeah.
They're in a.
I think some people watching that won't. I think people. Some people watching that won't even get that. Like, they'll just be like, "What was that?" Like,
yeah, I get that. Especially since I don't think they explain
the snow globe thing.
Like, yeah, like that. And I honestly, like, I didn't know anything about that. Like, it's a real item that
apparently
Krampus has, because it showed up in that The Rock movie with Chris Evans.
Have you heard of Krampus before this movie? Because I did not. This movie was my introduction to Krampus.
I knew of Krampus because I have, like, a friend
who'd be like, who's German. Evil. Like,
yeah, like, he like, it was always like, oh, like, you hear the story of Krampus? Like, no, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Never,
my parents never told me about that.
I honestly thought, when I first saw the movie, that the movie made it up. But then I was like, it's been in so many, there's like a million Krampus movies since then, unrelated, that I was just like, oh, I guess that was always a thing. That was always like part of the mythology of Christmas. Like, I did not know that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it is, I think it became popularized again, probably around this era. There were actually a couple Krampus movies, lower budget.
Yeah, yeah.
Before this one, but yeah, I did not know much about Krampus prior to this, but he has definitely blown up after this. Like,
I think that's why I say, like, this movie had to have been somewhat of a hit, because
yeah,
Krampus, people, like, you could say Krampus to a non-horror person, they know what it is, like, which is, like, I think 20 years ago, no way, dude. Like you said, maybe sure. a German
person. Yeah, yeah. The friend that I have, like, he's German, and, like, you know, it's something that, like, he told us about. And he enjoys, like, weird occult shit as well, and, like, German history. So, like, that's something that he definitely pulled in from there. It's not a Polish thing, as far as I know. So, like, my parents, or if it was, like, they never told us about it. So. But yeah, I kind of ultimately, yeah, I found it to be a good, fun enough, enjoyable film. Like, where'd you end up with it, Jeff?
To me, film's strength and its weakness is that it is very family friendly. Like, you could put this on while having family over Christmas, and they're not going to be upset about it, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, it's not super scary. It's definitely not gory. Okay, any of the violence that happens kind of happens off screen. And it's goofy. Like, it's more Home Alone-ish. Like, with the violence that is on screen, it's like funny and goofy.
It's like Home Alone. It's Home Alone, Gremlins, and fucking Christmas Vacation put in a blender. And served up, you know, and it's again, like, you're gonna get no objections. Like, people will be like, don't turn on a horror movie, but then they start watching it, they'll be like, oh, this is fun. Like,
yeah,
honestly, my wife was the same way. Like, I went to go put this on, she's like, this is bullshit. And then, like, in the first 20 minutes, she's laughing, she's like, really enjoying it. So it's like, it is that type of movie,
yeah,
it is a mainstream entertainment. And I just don't love it. Like, I think
it's fine.
The parts I love are, like, early on, and once it starts getting going, I thought it was just really loud and obnoxious. Like, just it's a lot of yelling. Yeah, like, and just screaming and gingerbread men flying at the screen, and I just. Like, what it is ultimately going for is kind of like a Gremlins type thing, and it's just like, I'll take Gremlins any fucking day over this.
Sure.
It's okay. It's fine. Like, again, yeah. I'd say if you want to put on something, like, a little edgier for the family, like, like this, again, I think this is one that you could watch with the relatives over, and they're not going to be mad about it.
Yeah, you could put this on the TV like when family's over, and as you said, at first they might be like, we don't want to watch, and then like it has that Christmas Vacation vibe, as you said, really early on, that'll hook you, and then it's like, oh, this is fine, but
it's like. You know, they'll be yelling at me to turn on Elf, and I'm like, I fucking hate Will Ferrell. Fuck Elf. I'm sorry. I don't know if you're a fan of that movie or not. I hate that movie is so loved. Anyways, but yeah, you could win them over with this. Like, so, like, in that respect, it's like, hey, totally fine. Again, I don't hate it in any way. I just don't really like it. Like, I don't care about it.
That's fine.
I'm going to go a little bit lower than A Christmas Story. I'm going to go a 6 instead of a 6.5. It's fine. It has its merits, for sure. It's just, like, with my Christmas horror, I like to go, like, really trashy 80s stuff. Like,
sure.
Or straight-to-video 90s stuff. And then this is just, like, it's very mainstream. It's well done. And it's safe. And, it's decent. I don't know. It's decent. 6 out of 10.
Yeah, I think because of those reasons, like, I think I enjoyed it a little bit more. Like, it is something, like, I think I could put on and, like, have people watch.
I'm going to put Christmas Evil on. I'm going to put Terrifier 3 on this year. Hey, guys, let's all gather around and watch I own Terrifier 3 now, so I'm going to just be like, let's watch this, guys.
I'm gonna try and put this on, like, when we have family over on Christmas Eve or Christmas, and just, yeah, like, just anybody, like, sit down and watch it. Like, hey, what is this weird thing
that's going on? It's fun. It is, like, it has that Home Alone Christmas Vacation vibe. Like, people would get wrapped into it not knowing it's going to be a horror movie, you know?
Yeah, and then, like, I think once the horror stuff kind of reveals itself, it's still fun, like, you know, in that mainstream appeal, like, you know, they're fucking gingerbread men are running around, and, like, toys are attacking you. Like, Teddy that's bears. The stuff I enjoyed from it. So, I like it slight bit more than A Christmas Horror Story. I'm going to go with a 7 here. So I think that's where we're at. I am glad, since you were like, when I said that we were watching these, you're like, oh, I fucking hate Krampus. I'm happy that, like, you watch, like, it's fine. Like, it's enjoyable enough.
It's totally fine. It's not, I don't hate it. It's just not one.
Style of horror.
Yeah. I would go to it for that purpose. So of like, hey, let's watch something fun. I think I think it has that mainstream appeal of, like, people will get behind, but, like, I don't know, man. I'm going to make fucking my family watch Christmas Evil. Fuck you. Watch some guy descent into madness turning into Santa. That's what you're going to watch at my house.
Was there a poll? Did anybody watch these two films?
I didn't do a poll, partly because I forgot, but also partly because I was like, I think Christmas Horror Story is a little too niche. And that leaves us at another fucking draw.
It's high, yeah. Close tie, but a tie.
Yeah, I'm, like, trying to think about, would I change my vote? Probably not. I think Christmas Horror Story does things I really appreciate it. Like, I really like what they're trying to do.
I think they're both fun to watch. Like,
they're not bad.
I enjoyed both. Like, I was not bored by either one.
They will be in, like, my rotation. You know, Krampus won't be every year, but maybe 10 years from now, it'll pop out again.
Like, oh, I didn't hate this movie.
Christmas Horror Story, it might be one I watch every few years. You know, it's not like Christmas Evil is coming up. Melissa doesn't know it. Christmas Evil is coming up. We're watching that fucker.
All right.
Merry Christmas. And what are we watching in January?
We're returning to the 80s and 90s, Jeff.
I like it.
And, you know, I think we have discussed over 56 film, 56 episodes here that I have, like, a fondness for religious themed horror, and we're gonna watch Warlock, which I believe was 1989 and The Prophecy, which is 1995. Yep. Both involve the devil and fallen angels, and one I believe is Julian Sands and one is Christopher Walken. So both are available on Tubi. And
I've seen these both, but I've not seen them since they came out.
Warlock is available on other stuff too. It's I think it's on HBO Max and Prime. The Prophecy only on Tubi, unless you want to rent it. But okay. Yeah. So we're gonna watch those two for January.
Sounds good. And before we go, speaking of religious horror, have you seen Heretic?
I have not. It is one I definitely want to see. I know it just hit streaming, I think, rent today.
For like 20 bucks.
20 bucks, though. So I may wait a moment on it. But
I hear great things. I hear it's really good. Yeah.
It is one that I saw that original trailer and I was like, this looks fucking awesome. And I just did not get a chance to go see it in theater. I don't think it did particularly well. So
no, well, I don't know. Like it definitely got noticed by people, but what is an A24 film doing well? I don't know. Like
right, yeah.
But I'm excited to see it. I hear it's very, very good and raises a lot of like interesting questions.
Yeah, definitely gonna. I'm gonna hopefully see that. I'm hoping by the time we watch the next one, I'd like to fit that in before the end of the year because it is definitely up my alley.
And speaking of that, would you be interested, Chris? I know we've never done this.
Yeah,
just doing a separate, just bonus episode, not even a numbered episode, where we just talk about our top 10.
Yeah, we could do that. Maybe sometime early January we'll
throw a bonus to y'all.
Yep. Yeah, we get a special bonus episode. All right. Yeah, we'll let's do that.
I like top tens.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll be back. I don't know if we'll have the bonus episode first or Warlock or The Prophecy, but we'll have two episodes for you in January.
Cool.